Good evening.
Good evening, it's Malcolm.
Are you the only one on, Malcolm?
I think so.
Let me check. That's correct. One on. So we'll wait for someone else.
Okay.
You doing well, I hope?
Yes, how about you? I'm doing well.
Baruch Hashem, I am well. Thank you.
I had my grandchildren and my daughter, her husband over for the weekend, so I'm trying to get caught up from all of that.
Well, grandchildren are enjoyable as long as you get to give them back after a while.
They are definitely full of life, full of energy.
They are. And we used to be full of energy, so, but it's harder as you get older.
All right. I do keep up with them for a little while. I think it's just pure adrenaline.
That's the point. For a little while.
And it's like, oh.
You need to, you know, take a look. And they don't, so.
Right.
But it's really good.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun together.
That's nice. Let's wait another minute, and if not, I'll start with the Lashem Yehud.
Okay.
I'm sure people will join.
Ruby.
Hello, Ruby.
Hello. I'm going to mute my phone.
Okay. There's only two of you on, Ruby, so hopefully you'll join with questions. We're starting with verse 97 for Parashat Noach from the Zohar, section 14. And then we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud could shabber for Ishkinte, Bitchino, Urchino, 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 Urchino. Veyakta, Lashem, Yudhe, Bavate, Yehuda, Shemin, Bashem, Kol Yisrael. Vimutso, Ramitzva, Latsokto, Ramitzva. Vahino, Nayelohino, Alema, Maseya, Deno, Kanenele, and Maseya, Deno, Kanenehu. Ugin Lashalta Alai Ruatena Tiraza Dishma Tadisha Vainun Arba Minin Shebalulav Naratsuye Leia Lakud Shabarihu Who shalta alayhu irazadishma kadisha uratara alam mayim kadishim tenaska al gabe vadbecha. To dominate the ministers of the nations, we come with the holy name that is represented by those four kinds with the lulav. The myrtle is the secret of chesed, divura and tiferet. from the letter Yud of the Yud. The willow branches are the secret of Netzach and Hod, from the first letter He of the Yud He Vav He. The lulav of Yisod, from the letter Vav of the Yud He Vav He. And the etrog is the secret of Malchut of the lower He. Together they appease the Holy One, blessed be He, and rule over the proud waters by means of the Holy Name. They bring and arouse upon us the holy waters, namely the abundance of the upper waters. For the water libation ceremony at the altar, which is Malchut, and these upper waters overcome the proud waters. Questions, comments, thoughts. And the first question which I will ask for everyone, because we all need to be reminded or to understand the water libation ceremony. When the temple was in business, when it was, sacrifices were taking place. During Sukkot, the Kohanim would take a water with barrels in it. They take a wagon with barrels, and they take it to the river. I think it was the Jordan, but I'm not sure which river it was. They take it to the river. They fill the water, the barrels with water, and they would pour the water over the altar and wash away the blood and the skin and all the fats and all the things that are produced as part of the ritual. And the waste product that fell off of the altar would be swallowed by the ground. The ground did not become wet. The water, that's what the Talmud describes it. And the Talmud also says that there was never a time of joy and happiness like the water libation ceremony done in the temple during the week of Sukkot. And with that information, does anyone have any questions or comments or thoughts?
My comment is the spiritual world was connecting with Malkuth. They were unified. The upper waters and the lower waters, Bema. Cleansing
the mikvah. And what the... The water libation ceremony, the pouring of the water over the ark, is considered Malchut, because the ark is considered Malchut.
Right.
During Sukkot, that ritual is the waters of Bima, the higher waters. And it's connected, the four species and the waving are connected to the Tetragrammaton, to the four-letter name of Hashem. And it explains how all of the seven lower sephirot are included in the four species.
Right.
So within this pasuk is a lot of wisdom, it's a lot of information that students of Kabbalah, as they begin to utilize the tree, they can utilize the tools and the information in this verse. But it is essentially unifying the waters, the upper waters of Bina with the lower waters of Malchut. And this is what creates the joy that the Talmud is describing.
Right. The male and female aspect. of unification, like a man and a woman, a husband and wife. And also it was the beginning of the raining season, and they also prayed for rain, so which would water the fruits of the land.
There's a difference, though, between male and female and the other waters. Because the male represents Zerum Pim. The female represents small hoops.
Right.
And the upper waters are Bina, so they're above the male. They're higher level than the male.
That's right.
So
that's
while
right.
You're,
we had
while
a
you're up the rest, the light is being revealed. It's on a, it's really a different level. There's more joy, more light, more revelation of light, and more connection to positivity. When you unify the Bina with Malchut, when you unify the upper waters with the lower waters. And water is a code word for chesed, for loving kindness. Water is a code word. Chesed is connected to Zerum Pim, because it's the highest level within Zerum Pim. Torah is Zerum Pim, although it's typically considered the level of Tiferet. And many people in their spiritual work confused one is loving kindness and one is mercy. But in this pursuit, there's a lot of wisdom.
So you're saying, yes, sir.
Now, if you have a question, I don't mind staying.
So you're saying a lot of wisdom. So the Chokhmah and Bina is definitely never separated. But so the wisdom is... or the energy, the light is greater at this time at Sukkot, because they're all sharing a greater light.
Correct.
Which is brought down to Malkuth.
What we had discussed. And we kept reinforcing the discussion. During the 22 days of holidays of Tishrei, what is happening is Malchut being built. Malchut being human beings, their desire to receive is being built, being recreated. That's the first 10 days. Then the next of 10, essentially the 7 days of Sukkot are included in those second 10 days. Though in those days, the fulfillment, which is chesed, which is striving to connect and be unified with Bina, which is always unified with Chokhmah. And you see how everything is being unified during those light of Chesed with the light of Sukkot. That is the fulfillment of the desires that were built up in the first 10 days. But in order for the fulfillment to find their way into the vessel, into the desires to receive, that process is the 21st and 22nd day. It's Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah. So you see the process, and that is always a higher level than the rest of the days of the year, because the higher level connects us to Bina during that period. And if we have the right consciousness, we literally can create the what's the year ahead going to bring us? Depends on your consciousness in those 22 days. And that's why I spent so much time over the last 7, 8, 10 weeks between the 17th of Tammuz and Rosh Hashanah, and then after Rosh Hashanah during the 22 days, I spent so much time. We didn't do any other classes but how to prepare for Rosh Hashanah and the 22 days of Tishrei. Because it's so important.
Hello.
Verse 99. Vishalta haide ina lmeidan alma ad yoma v'kipure dina nacharim an pacha v'la ishtekach v'ya dil torah. The Almighty who eats a sack, the Haru Sayer Lakariv Lemakdisha. The courthouse rules and judges until Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when her face of the female principal lights up. This means that the female principal receives the upper three sephirot, Keter, Hachma, and Bina, called the face. At this time, the slanderous serpent leaves the world alone because he is busy with the scapegoat, which has been offered to him. This offering is from the side of the spirit of defilement, which is appropriate for the slanderous serpent, who is the prosecutor. So while he is occupied with his scapegoat, he does not approach the temple, or the female principal, that is. He does not approach the children of Israel in order to prosecute them anymore, and does not separate the mating of Zeranpin on the female principal. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Pretty much it explains its own self.
Say it a little louder, please.
I think it's self-explanatory.
Yes, it is self-explanatory based on what I had just said about the building of the desire to receive.
Right.
That's essentially that it's talking about the Yom Kippur holiday. It's talking about what took place in the temple of the two goats,
right,
and the separation between the two. So it is self-explanatory because of the training and the education and the teachings that we went through prior to Yom Kippur.
Right.
One hundred. The scapegoat is like the sin offering of the he-goat on the first day of the month, because he is occupied with it. The face of the temple, which is the female principle, lights up, and this is how all Israel find mercy in the eyes of the Holy One, blessed be he. And he removes he reveals to the exceedingly wise, the saintly, and the pious men. Rabbi Yossi asked him, "And what is that secret?" So he answered, "I have not yet checked you out, so I cannot tell whether you are fit to hear this secret." Questions, comments, thoughts?
And would that be?
Go ahead.
What secret would
again,
that be?
It's too soft.
What secret would that be?
We're going to find out as it goes on.
Okay. And Hanok, you're kind of going,
it's
kind of lose you every.
About Rosh Chodesh. It's talking about Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
It's saying that the two goats on Yom Kippur are similar. The one goat that is sacrificed every month on Rosh Chodesh. It's good to know, it's good to learn about what is sacrificed on each. On Rosh Chodesh, in formal daily sacrifices, there is an additional goat that is sacrificed. This verse is explaining that this goat is a scapegoat. It's a gift to Satan to go be busy with it so that all of the sins of Israel, all of the sins that were committed in the previous month, become cleansed.
Question.
I have been conscious, but it's the first time I've read it in the Zohar.
Okay. So what does it mean that he's busy with it? Satan's busy with it. What exactly does that mean? He's busy with the scapegoat. What exactly is he doing?
I'll explain it to you now. We explained it on the Hilulah of Rachel Imeni.
Okay.
What happens is Satan has three jobs. Job number one is to tempt people to sin. Job number two is, if they sin, it's to prosecute in the spiritual courts. So if somebody was tempted and fell and did the sin, the same source of the temptation is prosecuting and saying, Well, because he did this sin, this is the effect that he should have. And then the third thing that Satan has to do is enough sins are complete, has earned or has the effect of leaving the world, of dying. And that is done by the Satan. The Satan is the angel of death. So here's the three choices, the three paths that Satan has in service to God. So if we give him time to be busy, he cannot do the prosecution, he cannot do the temptation, he cannot take anybody out with as the angel of death, because he's busy with another task that is not any of those three. That's what the phrase "be busy with" means.
But we don't know what that other task is other besides the other three. It could be...
We know what the other task is. The other task is to do any of those three as it applies to the people that are connected to the goat. And who is connected to the goat? On Rosh Chodesh, the goat is connected to the moon. Why? Because when the Satan, or the female, the moon, went to God and said, "How do you have two kings? How can there be two kings?" And God said, "You're right. Now go diminish yourself." The children of Israel, in the frame of people, they were diminished. So Satan's task is to tempt the children of Israel to do sins, to go against the system. But if he's busy being given a goat, which is connected to the children of Israel, to the female, he's busy with that and he's not tempting the individuals. That's what the other task is. It's still essentially one of the three tasks, but it's bothering the children of Israel.
Hanak?
I hope that's clear. Yes, baby.
Along those same lines, you know, when you speak about the book of Job, when Job was kind of given, I guess would be like this, when God had instructed, when there was a conversation and he was saying, "Look at my servant Job," would that kind of be like the same thing, Job being
that's
like the goat, he was using the distraction?
Exactly. In the Zohar, in the Parashat Beshalach, in all through the centuries, the religious rabbis, the Orthodox rabbis, have never been able to be... How do you explain the book of Job? What did Job do wrong? Why was he punished so severely to lose all of his possessions, have all of his children and his wife die, and to be struck with boils on his skin? All of his... that the book of Job describes. And the Zohar comes along and says, Job was a scapegoat. Job was given to the children of Israel, he was given to the Satan to be busy with, so that he wouldn't bother any of the children of Israel as they exited Egypt, as they were redeemed from Egypt. And without the Zohar, you would never have that understanding. And that's why the rabbis who didn't study the Zohar for, you know, 4,000 years, 3,000 years, were constantly struggling with how can this good God punish Job, and who maintains his innocence throughout the whole book. He didn't do anything wrong, so he says. Exactly the same thing. A scapegoat is a scapegoat is a scapegoat. A purpose of a scapegoat is to make Satan busy with it so that other people can escape. Where does the term scapegoat come from? It comes from having a flock of sheep. The shepherd sees the tracks of a wolf. So he stakes out the strongest male sheep, makes it easy for the wolf to find it, because the strongest sheep can defend itself somewhat. And while the wolf is busy with the scapegoat, with the staked out sheep, he runs all of the females and all of the weaker males away. And then at the end, after they're safe on the clutches of the wolf, he goes back and he causes the scapegoat, he causes that strong sheep, he takes it away and brings it back to the flock. That's what a scapegoat is. You make Satan or the wolf, the negative animals, the negative events, you make them busy with this one item, and everything else is let free, not to be, he doesn't act as a tempter. He doesn't act as the prosecutor. And if those two things don't happen, he can't act as the angel of death for that person. And this is the system that Hashem set up. Obviously, we don't want to be the scapegoat. But who becomes the scapegoat? Somebody who's done something incorrectly. What did Job do incorrectly? He never tied his required donations of his money, his time, his wealth, his possessions, his children, and so he lost everything. Because over the various lifetimes, that's what he owed Satan. And Satan is a reactive entity. You've heard the phrase, two in the bush is worth, one in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Yeah.
Satan operates on that premise. If you give him something, he doesn't bother you. But people don't understand that. I earned this money. This is mine. No, it's not. The Malchut, the tenth Sephirah, the female principle, has no light of its own. And because it has no light of its own, whatever you receive that has that energy of Malchut needs to be shared.
Anak, may I ask the question?
The system is that. Go ahead.
Oh, you know, you talk about refer to the female principle relating to the moon, but doesn't the female principle at some point relate to, like, Abba Ima? isn't that considered a female principle as well?
Enid is considered a female principle, but she was always connected to the male principle. They are never separated. Whereas Malchut is separated from Zeron Kim. The male and female are separated. And so the female by herself becomes the scapegoat. It's only when she is connected to the male does she have the strength. The female is the internal. Now don't compare in terms of male and female. Don't look at it in that way. It's not a human male and a human female. When we're saying the female principle, we're talking about the desire to receive. And after the sin of Adam, we're talking about the desire to receive for oneself alone. This is the energy of female. The energy of male is sharing, fulfilling the female, fulfilling the desire to receive. Don't get confused and think, oh, we're talking about chauvinism and feminism. We're not.
Oh, no. I wasn't thinking of it in those terms.
Same language.
Mm-hmm.
Kabbalah has its own language. And you have to start to think in terms of the Kabbalah's language. It uses normal everyday terms, male and female, up and down, east and west. But these terms are not everyday terms. They're spiritual terms. And that's why we study the Zohar as deeply as we do. And how many times do I say, well, this pasuk is just giving you code words? And most of us, and me included, you know, we kind of gloss over it. I don't remember what the code word was from this pasuk, from this section of the Zohar. But then, you know, three weeks later, the same term is used, and I need to go back and review what did the Zohar say this code word meant. Because if as long as I think in terms of normal everyday language, I'm not going to understand what the Zohar is saying. Any other questions?
No questions. I should have asked, what's the definition of a scapegoat? Now I know. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Most people, we all do this. We hear a term, it's an everyday term. A scapegoat is something we've heard our whole lives. We've always heard about a scapegoat. We just never think about what does it really mean? And what does it mean spiritually as opposed to what it means physically? Physically, I described it as with the shepherd, the goat, and the wolf. But spiritually, the scapegoat is an entity who has the effect of a lot of. And so the creator or the whoever's in power will turn that person over to the Satan to play with. Literally, the terms used in the Hebrew is to play with, to be busy with. In the Lashem Yehud that we say, I talk about two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah is to al divrei Torah, the words of Torah. The second mitzvah we talk about is la'asok Torah. La'asok Torah is not an easy translation because there's many different levels to it, but one of those levels is a scapegoat, to be busy with, to be busy with. Well, I'm talking about a scapegoat, and I'm talking about being busy with Torah. But in essence, it's they are the same, although the scapegoat is a negative thing, and the Torah is a positive thing. But in reality, they're the same thing. When we study Torah, we're not reminding our physical selves, are we? We're dealing with our spiritual selves. We're feeding our spiritual selves. We're being busy with the Torah is the way of a scapegoat. Now, I know that's confusing because we don't think in terms like this. So if you don't understand what I've just said and it feels confusing, give it a couple of years of study and it'll make some sense to you.
Oh, I understand. I understand that. Now that I know the true definition of the scapegoat, I can put things in perspective.
Well, Hashem. Marco, I tell you, I give you an adage that's from the Perkei Avot. I'm putting modern language. It's just to be aware of. When we think we understand, we don't. Because there's always a deeper level.
Yes, sir. I'm learning.
It's an adage. Does it apply to you today at this moment? Maybe, maybe not. That's up for you to determine. But it's always something to keep in mind. That even if you think you understand it, always remember there's something deeper. There's more to learn. There's more to understand. The next class at 7 o'clock West Coast time will be a Zohar class on the Parasha of Vayera. So have a good evening. Our class is on Saturday, Motzi Shabbat. It's Havdalah at 6, and the Zohar, the new Parasha of Chayesara at 7. These are West Coast times. You're both, or all of you, are very welcome. You have a beautiful evening. Shalom to all, and Shabbat Shalom. Yes?
Hello. Hey, you're still having, I can hear you off and on. Sometimes you go completely out. And I can't hear you, then you come back in.
The best thing to do when that happens is to hang up and call back in.
I've done
because
that a couple of times.
If that happens to me, if that happens to me, if it's going in and out, I will stop and do that. And it usually clears up. Sometimes it takes two or even four times. But it really has to do with the condition of your cell tower.
Okay, because I thought maybe you had maybe a little mic. I thought maybe it was your mic
no.
problem, but
no,
because
no,
I'm
not,
calling
it's
it.
It's not
I've,
coming
I've got,
from my. Sometimes if I'm far from the phone, meaning from the mic, yes. And so if you mention it, I will move closer, and if that does not clear it, follow those instructions. But it's essentially the conditions of the cell towers. It's happening in your area because you had that destruction from the hurricane. It's happening in the Florida area for the same reason.
Okay.
that essentially when you connect well with the cell tower and there's not a lot of traffic on your cell tower, and that's a relative term to, you know, the size of the capacity of your cell tower. So it does if you follow that procedure.
Okay. I'll
but first,
try that.
Say
Thank
something
you.
To me rather than let it go. And I will move closer to the phone to see if that clears it up.
Okay.
So you have a good evening. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.